as I say, not as I do. Okay, lastly, the elders' tasks, the elders' cautions, the elders' glory, verse number 4. Peter says, you elders, I want you to know, verse number 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Going back to what he said in verse number 1, I'm a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed. Again, that future grace, that eschatological hope of being partakers of Christ's glory. So verse 4, Peter speaks of the chief shepherd appearing, and that's certainly Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who pastors the church. Peter said in chapter 2, verse 25, he's the shepherd and overseer of our souls. It's interesting, the one Greek word here that's translated chief shepherd, for a while people thought Peter made this word up. You know, there are certain words in Scripture people think Paul made up, and the Greek word's not found anywhere else but in Scripture. But this word they've discovered does appear in non-biblical texts. In other words, there are Greek writings where this word appears before Peter's writing. And it refers to a shepherd in a large flock who oversees the other shepherds. So it points to the fact that all other shepherds are indeed under shepherds. Human elders, human pastors, human overseers are under shepherds who must look to the chief shepherd. They're not independent agents whatsoever. The chief shepherd will appear. He alone is our hope. He alone is the source of our joy. And Peter says, when the chief shepherd appears, these elders will, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. I hope you see, as we've gone through the book of 1 Peter, over and over and over again, this letter is saturated with this truth. How much eschatological hope, hope for Christ's coming, hope for his appearing, hope for the grace to be revealed to us, hope for the glory that we'll experience being in the presence of his glory. How much this has to do with our living right now as believers. We look for this glory and it drives us. And Peter here says, hey, elders, let this drive you. You're going to receive the unfading crown of glory. You know, sometimes we speak, I've heard Christians speak of rewards. We're going to stand before Christ at the judgment to get rewards. And you know what? Sometimes the scriptures speak that way. So we must understand that fallen human beings are not actually capable of earning divine rewards. How can I merit before a holy God? At the most, I owe God obedience. I owe it to him. He has every right to require it from me. So how can that merit? How can my deeds benefit God in such a way that he would think of them as meritorious? What's he going to say? Thanks for helping me out. He's God. You can't help him out. He is almighty. And nothing could deserve reward if in any sense it fell short of perfection. And all of our deeds fall short of perfection. So there's a real sense in which everything one receives that is spoken of in reward terms actually comes by the grace of God. And here's the truth. Here's the point. God is so gracious. And although we must think we're but unworthy servants, as Jesus said in Luke, I'm guessing here, 17, in Luke 17, that little story he told about the servant who comes in and the, you know, working in the field all day, and the master doesn't say, oh, sit down, take a rest. The master says, change your clothes and serve me. And Jesus says, the point is we never put God in any kind of obligation to us. And we must say we are but unworthy servants. But although that's the way we think, the truth is that this gracious God delights in saying to us, well done. Good and faithful servant, well done. So God does give his saints rewards, so to speak. But they're not on the principle of merit. They're on the principles of grace, his graciousness. In fact, he delights in this. So Peter speaks of the unfading crown of glory. Not a king's crown. The Greek word is Stephanos, and it can refer to a king's crown, but here it refers to kind of a presentation at an athletic contest for the winners, or even a military conquest for the leaders in battle to get these circlet type of rewards. These could be gold, silver, laurel made of like leaves and vines and stuff, or flowers. But those crowns given in Peter's day faded, and Peter says this crown will not fade. The unfading crown of glory. And in the New Testament, God's rewards for the faithful are variously pictured. Incorruptible crown, it's called in 1 Corinthians 9:25, a crown of glory here, and also in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. A crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4:8, and a crown of life in James 1:12 and Revelation 2:10. Now, it could be that the crown in our text is something particularly for the elders. Many people think that. But we know for sure all believers receive crowns. And we must notice that in Revelation chapter 4, the 24 elders around the throne of God, you know what they do with those crowns, don't you? They cast them before the throne of God. And it's interesting what they're saying as they're taking their crowns and casting them before the throne of God. In verse 11, they're saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power. Now, whoever these elders are in Revelation 4, there's certainly a sense in which they reflect God's people and their worship before the throne. Ultimately, the Bible says Christ is the crown to his people. Isaiah 28:5. In that day, the Lord of hosts will be a crown of glory, a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people. We worship around his throne, and we say, as the psalmist said in Psalm 115:1, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. It's our delight and great joy to look forward to these crowns, so to speak, and give glory to God that is due him. Psalm 96:7-8, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. We bring God offerings of praise and thanksgiving, and those never fade. For God is our pleasure and joy forever. So Peter says, hey, elders, when the chief shepherd appears, you get this unfading crown of glory, and you get to cast it back to God and say, God, you're worthy of all praise, honor, glory. Okay, real quickly, let me give you some general application, since most of you here aren't elders. Number one, all believers must serve humbly by the grace of God and for God's glory. All of us, as we serve one another in various ways, we must serve humbly by God's grace for God's glory. And number two, this eschatological hope, and I've already said this over and over as we've gone through 1 Peter, has a great deal to do with our motivation to follow Christ now. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, whatever we face, we go through with the joy set before us, this eschatological hope. And then number three, no believer should want to serve Christ by a dominating or lording over other believers. As Jesus said, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister. Our desire should be to serve one another. And finally, let me say this, if you're here and you're an unbeliever, let me just say, you're not capable of meriting divine favor. In fact, you're a fallen human being, and your need is the salvation of your soul. Your sin merits divine judgment and eternal punishment. It doesn't merit delight and joy in God. So if you're here and you're an unbeliever, the good news is that there is someone who did merit God's kingdom and favor, and his name was Jesus Christ. And he did live a perfect life. And he died on the cross, not for his own sins, for he hadn't committed any sin, but he died in the sinner's place so that all who come to him by faith could be forgiven and inherit with him in his kingdom. He gives them eternal life. So if you're an unbeliever, Christ invites you to turn from your way and come to him and be saved by grace, not by works. 1 John 5:11-12 says, and this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. You can have life by receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this eschatological hope that we have that encourages us, Lord, someday we'll be in your presence. We'll see your glory. Lord, I thank you for the calling that you've given to me. I thank you for my brother elders here at Grace Community Chapel, and I thank you for the saints here. Help us all serve one another, Lord. By grace, we can't do it any other way. But by your grace, for your glory. Bless us, we pray. Thank you for all we have in Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.